Hey guys, what's going on? You're listening to ReviewAday.ca. I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dodd from ThisWeekInGeek.net. And most recently, you can hear me across the Chorus Radio Network on VGS. Most locally on Edge 102.1 if you happen to be in the Toronto area. I'm so happy to be there. I'm excited. So anyway, the last time on Rab, we took a look at Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain. A very strong contender for Game of the Year, and definitely one of the best games currently of this console generation in terms of what you can do in this open world, and it's just a lot of damn fun in terms of gameplay. Storyline-wise, that's debatable. You can go back and listen to that review if you want. In today's review, we're going to take a look at Mad Max, which comes to us from Warner Brothers Interactive Entertainment and Avalanche Studios. So, I haven't been a fan of the Mad Max franchise for too long. In fact, it was back in, I think, May of this year, maybe April, that Roebuck and Dave and I sat down and did a Twig Topic show on Mad Max, The Road Warrior, and Beyond Thunderdome. And I didn't get a chance to check out Fury Road until just a couple of weeks ago, very much thanks to the strong urging of Ryan, who said it's the greatest action movie he's ever seen. And I will admit, upon subsequent viewings, Fury Road has really grown upon me. And when I got the game a couple weeks ago, I was really sick and was really playing Metal Gear for a good chunk of it. But since I've been recovering, I've been playing an awful lot of Mad Max, well over 50 hours with it. And I kind of blame a lot of Fury Road for getting into the mindset of George Miller and that whole post-apocalyptic wasteland and the Plains of Silence and all that stuff. And, well, playing through this game, I've got some mixed opinions on it. So I guess let's kind of dive right into it without any further ado. So the storyline for Mad Max is you fight a guy named Scrotus Scabbard. Scabrous Scrotus, rather. And he's the psychotic son of Immortan Joe, the bad guy from Fury Road. Though that's where the connection with this more or less ends. Scrotus and his war boys kick the crap out of you and basically steal Max's car, the Interceptor, his clothes, his weapons, everything, and pretty much leave him to die in the desert. So a lot like the beginning of Fury Road. And you meet up with this mechanic named Chum Bucket, though I can assure you, we all know what he's been nicknamed in, you know, the time since then if you've been playing this game. And he wants you to help him build this car named the Magnum Opus, which is this car that's so versatile, it can do anything. It can have, like, a supercharged V6 or V8 engine, like this ramming grille, these mystical hood ornaments, which grant you buffs and bonuses. And eventually you get a rocket launcher, because why not? And you get a pretty badass harpoon. So eventually you travel across these like, five or six sections across this open world near Gastown, which is briefly mentioned in Fury Road. I want to say it was mentioned in the other movies too, but I'm not sure. And basically you go around destroying camps, which could be an oil pumping facility, could be gas storage, it could be any number of things, and you may fight big bad guys called top dogs, and you may take down scarecrows, find landmines, and the object is to take down the threat rating in each of these regions so there's less war boys out patrolling and to make the countryside safe for everybody. By doing this, you complete certain story missions or wasteland missions from other people. You get experience, which will help improve Max as a person, either make him stronger, faster, do weapon attacks that last longer, or enter Fury Mode, which is basically where he gets super pissed off, does more damage, takes less damage, and whatever. And then you can also collect scrap, which is used to improve the Magnum Opus, which is your car, but also improve your items as well. You do get a shotgun in this game, which can improve it up to 4 times. I think you get another shotgun later, but I'll talk about that when we get the extras. And that's basically about it. One review for this game described it as Watch Dogs in the Desert. I can't disagree with that, actually, because it's a lot of to-do lists. There's a lot of checklists. And because I've become so achievement-obsessed trying to get 100% in certain games, it's kind of therapeutic, yet I kind of realize how annoying this could possibly be. Currently, I've done 95% of everything in the game. I'm only missing one or two little things, Whether I'm going to go back and finish those remains to be seen, but we'll get to that. Gameplay-wise, the car combat is a lot of fun, actually. Another game I might compare this to might be the Batman Arkham games, in the way that there's this free-flow combat system, which if you're good at Arkham, you'll be really good at Mad Max. Especially with the whole, the ability to parry and to turn weapons on your bad guys. In fact, I was turning people into Swiss cheese fairly early on with this title, simply because I was so overpowered and I had my timings down right. Car combat's a lot of fun. Definitely way more fun than Batman ever was. Plus, it feels more brutal, more visceral. And you do spend a lot of this game driving, but I found myself doing a lot of things on foot. But you can kind of cheat, in a sense, where if you go to certain strongholds, if you park the car a certain way, you can pick off the bad guys using your harpoon or your rocket launcher or your sniper rifle and basically take out a base 90% before you even walk in the front door. But a lot of this game is repetitious, and it's a lot of driving. And the world does feel big, like maybe not necessarily as big as, say, Los Santos from Grand Theft Auto. Definitely feels bigger than, say, Watch Dogs. But yeah, it's a lot of busybody work, and I am having fun with it, but I could see how this could maybe piss someone off. However, one thing I did notice with this, it's really easy to overlevel. Before I got into the second half of this game, where you have to go through a part called the Jaw, you have to build something called the Thunderpoon, which is basically, it's a rocket launcher. And I started doing all the checklisty stuff before everything. So I'd go to certain strongholds, I'd start to clear them up. And strongholds where you can regain health, you can build projects that'll make sure the car is always full, you always have guns or whatever. And I just did these because, like, oh, well, I guess I'll do all the side missions, and then I'll do the main storyline missions. Thinking, all right, the story missions are going to be kind of full. Not really. I found myself walking through parts of this. Right now, as I'm basically right near the end of the game, I am walking over people. And it's ridiculous. Another complaint I might levy at this game is, as I mentioned, top dogs earlier, which are like the big bads of each section. They're essentially the same guy. You fight the same guy so many times, and it's basically get a weapon, pound the piss out of him. Now, it's not to say that you don't get rewarded. You get, like, scrap out of them. You get colors for your car, which are not all cosmetic. One actually gives you a buff out of fire damage, which is kind of nice. But it's a lot of the same fight over and over again. However, like I said, there is some fun to be had with this. It's a lot of repetition, and I find if you're not riding the hype train from Fury Road, your mileage is going to vary with this one. Let's talk about the graphics for this game. This game is gorgeous looking. Especially, there's a really neat option, which I'll talk about later, which is called Capture Mode. But the models look great. Max looks kind of like Tom Hardy, I guess. But the War Boys look kind of neat. Some of the Wastelanders you run into have, like, the whole, like, scruffy hair, dirty, the amount of goggles or whatever, basically mismatched patchwork clothes. But the thing that really sells it, it's how different each zone feels. Like, there's one part that's literally just like a giant sand dune. I found a place to park and just watch the sunset for a little bit. Or I found a part where it's more volcanic and there's these huge pools of sulfur, and you can just see how it's, like, rising out of the ground and causing that little bit of an air distortion. Or you'll be driving across a part where it's more, there might have been more civilization there at one point, but it's obviously been stripped away from the war and the weather. And it's got some really nice environmental touches. Like I said, the game looks gorgeous. It really does. Seeing all the details they put into the cars and all the weapons, that's really kind of impressive, too. Whoever designed this game really love the Mad Max universe, and I think that's definitely something this game has going for it. It looks great. Cutscenes look alright, nothing super special, but they are serviceable. Talking about the sound design for this game, your car does sound different by what parts are on it. So let's say you've got a V6 engine and it's the best, but if you put on heavy armor, your car slows down and you can feel the engine straining. So that's kind of a neat kind of little touch. They do speak the Mad Max weird slang, how your flashlight is the false light, or they trust your, like, gut ropes and gasoline is guzzling and whatnot. And it feels very authentic. And the performance from the guy who's clearly not Tom Hardy, it's serviceable. It works. It's not like Max Rockatansky has ever been a really verbal character before in the past. I don't remember a lot of music from this game, sadly. Right towards the end, I remember a lot more. But if there's a score to this game, it is sadly not memorable at all. Sound design is good. Because, like I said, the engines sound different. The metal-on-metal of car combat. The brutality of punching the crap out of someone and watching their guts fly out. Oh, yeah, you can feel that. You feel the impact of your fist against another body. But outside of the atmosphere it creates, I don't recall a lot of atmospheric music or anything like that. It's just kind of there. So, multiplayer / extras. So the extras is, you do get something called capture mode, which allows you to take screenshots, apply different filters to them, and you can upload these pictures to Twitter via the, you know, either on Xbox One, use a screenshot function, share them with your friends or whatever. It's kind of fun. I've had a little bit of fun experimenting around with it, especially when I do a really crazy stunt with the magnum opus, or I beat the crap out of like a buzzard with like a hammer or something. I'm actually really impressed how much detail they go into and what you can capture. Now you can unlock Max's iconic jacket from the Road Warrior, his shotgun from the Road Warrior, and the Interceptor, which is a car you can also I forgot, you can also capture cars in this, so you can sneak in the enemy strongholds, or they might have better stats than your car at the current time. But basically, here's cars, you can drive them around, yay fun. The Interceptor doesn't have any weapons, like your rocket launcher or your harpoon, but it does have a bigger gas tank. Yay. I've never run out of gas in this game. Other vehicles can run out of gas. Yours can run out of gas, but it's not impossible to find the stuff. Especially if you collect all the side projects and you fast travel, you'll refuel when you get there, providing you have the oil well project completed. So you might be asking yourself, is this game worth $60 right now? Well, I think on PC, it's significantly cheaper. And for the PC price of, I think it's like $30, yeah, totally worth it there. On console, it's a little bit of a harder sell. Now, I am having fun with it because I'm a fan of the universe. But other people, I could see them seeing this as a strange sense of deja vu in the desert. And while it does provide an interesting glimpse into the world via collectibles, which you can get, which are called historic relics, and they offer insight into what happened with the war and maybe why the oceans disappeared and stuff like that, it does provide a really cool context for the world. So it's worth it for a fan, but for a casual person, I don't know. It's kind of a hard sell. Now, if you could pick this game for $20 or $20, I wouldn't go any higher than $30, though. I'd say it's probably worth checking out, but I might wait for the price to drop on this one. It's an interesting look in the Mad Max, especially if you really liked Fury Road, but don't expect anything to the same level as driving the war rig through the canyon and having motorcycles jump out at you, or doing the insane takedown of, like, the bullet farmer or something like that. Nothing that nuts ever truly happens. But it's not to say that that's a bad game, it's just it's very underwhelming. Because I wanted more, but I think I was truly riding the hype train from Fury Road, and maybe that's why I feel the way that I do. So, what's coming up on Rad? Well, I've got Rock Band 4 coming up, I got Transformers Devastation, I got LEGO Dimensions, I got Guitar Hero. I am not going to be sleeping for the foreseeable time, basically until Christmas, but that's okay. So, anyway, guys, so my final recommendation for Mad Max Fury Road is, for Mad Max Fury Road, go see that, because that movie's awesome. For Mad Max, the video game, I might say wait a little while until the price drops, or maybe there'll be a really good deal on Black Friday, then it's definitely worth getting then if you can get this game cheap. So guys, until next time, I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd saying, live free or die hard, and I need some guzzling.